Okay, being it's not 7:30 yet.
Give us 36 minutes to.
We can go to open space.
No, we deferred on that one, didn't we?
Oh, shoot, we did. Oh, I could try it again, didn't I?
Well, is that the only one we got?
Well, that's the next public hearing is not for another half an hour.
What else is on the agenda? Tidewater.
We can't do it.
Everything's public hearing.
Why don't we discuss open space and get some of the things on the table? We got a half hour.
We have a list of what we can do and can't do from these two. Why don't we go over the list?
Let's do that. So we need to make a motion.
Now that we have
to amend the agenda again.
Well, you did vote to.
All right, well, we're just going to discuss it. We're going to, can we discuss this?
Jim,
you're a little nervous about that?
We have to defer it, don't we?
Well, you probably need to amend the agenda to bring it up again since you did vote to defer it.
Okay.
I make the motion we amend the agenda for the fourth, fifth, sixth time today about open space.
For discussion purposes.
For discussion purposes only.
Okay. Second, please.
Second.
Thank you. We move to second that we amend the agenda to discuss open space ordinance only. Mr. Pope?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I guess Jim will let you, I know you gave her, does everybody have the hit list of Mr. Griffin?
You want me to sort of go through this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does everybody have one of these?
Yeah.
When this matter came up before, you asked, Mr. Cole asked me to go through the changes that were proposed by the various people who came and spoke at the public hearing about changes they would like to see made. And what I was asked to do was to inform the members of council on a item-by-item basis which of those items or which of those suggested changes could possibly be amended into the ordinance without requiring it go back for another public hearing. When an ordinance is presented and goes to public hearing, in the normal course, if there are no suggested amendments, it's adopted in the same way in which it's advertised.
Correct.
However, if there are amendments that are less restrictive or which do not, or which and which relate to matters disclosed in the title, you can make such amendments after the public hearing and before it's adopted. It gets to be sort of a balancing act because if you're trying to adopt changes that make the ordinance more restrictive, then the argument there could be, well, that the members of the public didn't have a chance to comment on all of those changes. And since they're more if they're more restrictive, there should be another public hearing. So in going through these, first we're going to talk about the changes that were mentioned in the presentation made by DENREC, Department of Natural Resources. And items, they talked about two items. They said in 99-5A, they recommended that you exclude recreational the ordinance as proposed allowed recreational amenities. DENREC wanted to council to exclude recreational amenities that had impervious surfaces. And examples they gave were like swimming pools, play courts that are hard surfaced. My response on that was that would be a problem because recreational facilities were included as desirable amenities in a development. If you move it from the allowed category to the not allowed or the excluded category, then it is more restrictive than the way the ordinance was advertised. This would be number three, and I'm saying three because their comments on one and two were the same. In 99-5D, under the exclusions, they recommended that we not exclude stormwater management areas that included green technology best management practices. And my take on that was that's one of those items you can't do. The draft ordinance does not include because the draft ordinance does not include a definition of green technology. And without such a definition in the ordinance, you would be layering information or standards into the ordinance that were not initially advertised. What I said to that is that you could remove stormwater management facilities from the not allowed category and put it in the allowed category, but you can't go the other way. Number four, under 99-5B, that's the category of things that were allowed. And what we're talking about is allowed to be in, allowed and not allowed to be included in the open space calculation. There was mention in there of a pond which had a demonstrated safe recreational value and purpose. DENREC said that we needed to define that because that was a vague term. That was one of those things that I said, rather than trying to now define that phrase, you could address the concern by eliminating the quoted words, demonstrated safe recreational value and purpose. But if you do that, it would allow all ponds to be included in the open space calculation. Number five, DENREC's comment was about, they suggested that the ordinance should include a definition or should attempt to define wildlife corridors. That was also suggested by, DENREC mentioned it, but some other commenters also mentioned it. My comment on that was that it would be difficult to do that, that that might be a thing you couldn't do because the ordinance was not keyed or tied to any type of a mapping or an inventory of wildlife corridors throughout the county. And without such a definition, trying to make it meaningful to push open space into certain areas within a particular development wouldn't have any meaning because you wouldn't be connecting it beyond the borders to a greater greenway or wildlife corridor.
Could you just push for the connectivity and forget about worrying about wildlife corridors as like migrating routes or anything, but just the connectivity of one development to another to provide for some continuity of open space?
Well, you could certainly...
Without having to define anything, right? I mean...
I suppose you probably could. It would depend on what wording you ultimately came up with.
I mean, I'm just thinking it should be a goal. A goal should be to take this subdivision.
You could include a goal because that's a planning objective without making a specific requirement.
Yeah, I think a lot of these things could probably be referred to as a goal in the planning process to try to do interconnectivity and some of these other issues. Okay.
Now, those are all the DENREC. The major comments by DENREC. The other next set we're going to talk about are the ones by Center for the Inland Bays. In 99-5, under definitions, they suggested we amend the definition of open space to include all residential and RPCs, which are residential planned communities. I said that we could do that because it's consistent with the title of the ordinance, which refers to all residential zoning districts and specifically mentions residential planned communities. Number two, in 99-5, under the definitions, Center for the Inland Bay suggested they add language to the end of the definition to require open space to include any areas that were required to meet federal and state regulations. My thought there was that you couldn't do that because you would be building in a requirement that the ordinance pay deference to standards that may be different than those of the county or may not yet even be in effect. And of course, just before Thanksgiving, the county challenged the authority of DENREC to adopt buffer regulations that were inconsistent with those of the county. So that's why I thought that one should probably not be made at this point. Number three, in 99-5, 5H under exclusions, things that were not allowed to be included in open space. CIB recommended to modify that to provide that impervious cover should not exceed 15% of the calculated open space area within a development.
Jim, you're saying we can do that, right?
I'm saying you can do that.
Right.
Because we asked Mr. Lank, the Director of Planning and Zoning, to look at some subdivisions, major subdivisions, and tell us what the open space percentage turned out to be, and did it go more than higher than 15%? And his answer was that it was more in the neighborhood of 10 to 11 to 12%. And now, what
and
I
where
said...
Where would you put that? Are you saying 99.5H? Is that where you're saying it would be put, or is that...
Well, specifically, where in the ordinance would that go?
Yes.
I've got to get the ordinance before me here.
I stuck it in on 99.5A. I don't know if that's right in my notes. So. I mean, I guess it's not.
Yeah, that's where Center for the Inland Bay is at it, under A.
Right.
And they said they, the words they added or suggested be added was that recreation allowable impervious cover on recreational facilities and open space shall not exceed 15% of the calculated open space area.
Okay.
Next, Center for the Inland Bays commented at 99-5F, which talked about sidewalks not located within street right-of-ways. They were recommending that that require sidewalks be of the pervious type, the type that would allow the percolation of water through the surface used for the sidewalk. My answer there was you can't do because it's more restrictive, and it refers to sidewalks that are located outside street right-of-ways, and probably you want to try to encourage those sidewalks, because if you don't, then the developer is going to try to put the sidewalks within the right-of-ways.
Right.
Okay. But by allowing them to use the sidewalks outside to be used for the open space calculation, it might encourage them to be outside the street right-of-ways. Last comment by CIB was they suggested that you eliminate the spray irrigation area as in the exclusions and replace it with an exclusion for non-tidal wetlands. My comment there was you can't do that because it's inconsistent with a prior suggestion by DENREC that spray irrigation areas should provide wildlife habitat, and also by adding non-tidal, it would be more restrictive since they are now allowed in open space, and the ordinance as advertised doesn't refer to non-tidal wetlands. Number six, as written, and this is just a comment, as written, tidal wetlands are excluded from the open space calculation.
Right.
And none of the speakers asked to have them move to the allowed column. What I'm saying there is you could leave it as excluded or you could make it allowed, which is less restrictive. If you do that, understand that all wetlands then, tidal and non-tidal, would then be allowed in the open space calculation.
If you just made it wetlands and didn't clarify it, is that what you're saying? Or, well, or you say non-tidal and then slash tidal, both of them.
What I'm saying is that the ordinance says advertised, said tidal wetlands were excluded from the open space calculation. If you did anything with that, the only thing, you could either leave it there or move it to the allowed column.
Right.
Let's see, where were we? Number seven, CIB commented on 99-5E, items that are excluded. They said we should expand the definition of utility facilities that are not allowed in the open space calculation to include spray irrigation areas and community septic fields. What I said there was it's more restrictive. It increases the areas not allowed in the open space calculation when you compare it to the ordinance. Do you want me to keep going with these?
Yep.
Okay.
We got 7:30. So we have to worry about it.
All right. Next commenter was Mr. Burdett for McCrone. And number one, that first comment, in 99-5, definition include reference to lands in an agricultural state. And I think the example given was you may have gardens or things like that. My comment there is you can do, as it is consistent with the goal of allowing lands in open space that are predominantly undeveloped or in a natural state. Number two, in 99-5B, remove the reference to motorized watercraft that related to the ponds. My comment was you can do that because it would be less restrictive. 99, number three, and 99-5A, items that were excluded add words residential and within a subdivision or development. I said you could do because it was consistent with the intent of the ordinance and not more restrictive. Number four, 99-5B, exclusions allow the footprint of recreational buildings to be included in open space. My comment was, although it is less restrictive, it would increase the amount of impervious cover in open space and would be counter to the suggestions of Center for the Inland Bays and DENREC, and it could potentially cause some issues going over that 15% number or limitation on impervious cover. Number five and 99-5C, the suggestion by McCrone was to allow all impervious surfaces to be included in open space if it is for recreational purposes. My comment is that although less restrictive, again, it would increase the amount of impervious cover in open space and be counter to the suggestions of Center for the Inland Bays and DENREC. Number six and 99-5D, exclude under exclusions from open space calculation, they wanted us to provide that if stormwater management facilities support aquatic life, that they should be allowed in the calculation of open space. Again, the same comment as with the prior two, although less restrictive, it would increase the amount of impervious cover or be counter to the suggestions of CIB and DENREC. Number seven, 99-5E, exclusions. We're asked to add a reference to primary or secondary treatment lagoons. My comment was I didn't think that was needed since all lagoons are excluded from the open space calculation under the ordinance as advertised. 70 under number eight, 99-5E, exclusions, add and/or at the end. I said you could do that because it would not change the meaning and is not more restrictive. Number nine, 99-26A, had a reference to final plan. They wanted us to remove the requirement to show the total number of acres of recreational amenities. I said that you could do that. It's less restrictive. Planning and zoning needs to know this in order to determine the impervious cover percentage if you're going to go with that 15% limitation. Number 10, 99-32C, under bonds, insert the word construction. They wanted the bonds to be only for items that had to be constructed as improvements to the land. I said that I felt that might be counter to what the county was trying to accomplish because bonds do cover items in addition to buildings, plantings, landscape, maintenance, berms, that type of thing.
But Jim, doesn't that, I know in the ordinance it talks about sewer, water, road, All those are covered already in different ordinances, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Forestry buffers.
They may be, but, you know, it's try to make the ordinance as complete as possible.
Okay. I mean, I understand.
Because we in this ordinance, we didn't refer to those other sections requiring bonds, so it was trying to make the ordinance be standalone in respect to giving the county some guarantee that it could enforce if the things didn't get built. The next category were some suggestions from the ECI, the engineering firm in Rehoboth. Number one, in 99, I think it was a letter from Gary Couples, in 99-5, items excluded. They wanted to remove the reference to tidal wetlands. Tidal wetlands were an item that were excluded from the open space calculation. You could remove it because it's less restrictive.
Back on the previous page, you said that none of the speakers asked to have them removed. I guess technically that's true, but you've got a letter that is asking them to be removed.
Which letter is that now?
I'm sorry. Back on the comments by...
On title.
Comments by the CIB, number 6, you said as written, tidal wetlands are excluded from the open space calculation. None of the speakers asked to have them moved to the allowed column. Does that conflict with the number 1 of ECI? Or is that what ECI is also asking for?
Well, I think they said remove it from things that remove it entirely as opposed to shifting it from one column to the other.
Would it in effect have the same outcome?
I think it would.
Okay.
Let's see, back on page 4. That comment looks incomplete. Let me see what that is. Okay. Under 99-13D of this ordinance, we included in there a provision that says that if someone attempts to amend an existing plan to re-subdivide a subdivision that was previously created in order to create or establish lots in an area on the plan, the final record plan, that is shown as a park or a common area set aside for the use of all property owners, the director of planning and zoning shall not accept the application unless the applicant has first obtained a ruling from a court of competent jurisdiction deleting or removing the requirement that said area be maintained in perpetuity as common area available for the use of all property owners. That was put in because of a ruling issued by the Superior Court, Judge Stokes, in a situation where someone challenged the right of a developer to go back and try to create lots in an area where it was shown as common open space on the on the original subdivision plan. This was put in to avoid the situation where people come in across the counter and try to apply to convert those areas.
Right.
There already is a different section of the ordinance that says that if you want to do that, there's a method established through county law that if you can get 51% consent of all the people who own lots in that subdivision, if you can get that consent, then you can do that.
Right.
But we wanted to try to make sure that in situations where they couldn't get that consent, we weren't still faced with applications trying to do an end run around the 51% ordinance. Let's see, number 3, in section 115-172, remove the reference to 50-foot buffer being required in a mobile home park area as something that cannot be included in open space. And what I said there is that you could remove that reference because the buffers for mobile home parks are already established in a separate section of the ordinance under conditional uses for mobile home parks.
And we, I think we talked about that last week.
Yes,
Lawrence informed us that that was in a whole different section. Right.
Next, the comments of DC Group. Tell me when you want me to stop here.
Well, we've got 5 minutes. We're almost done.
Number one, DC Group. They suggested we classify open space as active or passive. And I think Denrick also suggested that, and allow any area that is open space or is that, or provides a means of access to open space, even if it is an impervious surface, to be included in the open space calculation. I said that you couldn't do that. I thought that would require a later amendment.
Does that deal with the 15% and all that, the impervious cover? No?
Number two, allow 100% of all water bodies, stormwater management ponds, floodplains, and all wetlands to be included in the calculation of open space. I said that you could do that because it would be less restrictive, but it would be, I felt, a major change from the ordinance presented at the hearings. Number three, remove 99-32 relating to bonds entirely and not have any bonding requirement in this ordinance. I said, if the county needs bonds, especially in times of economic downturn, in order to ensure construction of infrastructure and required amenities and buffers, if that's your belief, then you shouldn't do that. Then we had a comments from an individual, I believe it was Deborah Schultz. Number one, include a county greenway system with wildlife corridors. Again, I said you can't do it. It would be a major change, and I referred back to the fact that we don't have a major mapping of wildlife travel corridors to work from. Number two, classify open space as active or passive and tie it to investment levels on the state spending map. I said that I thought we couldn't do that, as that would be a major change and would be more restrictive. So that concludes my attempt to go through all the suggested matters that were suggested by the individuals who submitted letters and or spoke at the prior hearing.
Okay.
And
you got a quick question, George? Just for a period, okay, so this is for discussion only right now. It will be on the agenda next week, so everybody's been kind of briefed on what we got here, what we got from the public hearing, so have your little notes ready for next week, and so we can rock and roll on this thing, okay?
I do have a question, though.
Yes, go ahead, Dan.
Jim, that was very good. That was an impressive effort on your part to try to categorize everything as requested last at the last meeting. I think you did a great job.
Thanks.
On page four, under the DC group, number two, where it says allow 100% of all water bodies, stormwater management ponds, floodplains, all wetlands to be treated as open space, you said could do. Is the rest of your sentence there an opinion that just points out that it would be a major change? Or are you saying it's so substantial that we couldn't actually do it? Because when you break down those requests throughout some of the previous comments, you've said we could do them. For instance, you said we could include all the ponds, which I guess would be considered the water bodies, all wetlands, when you take out the titles, in essence, would be included in the calculation. The stormwater management ponds, I guess, again, back to that ponds issue. Floodplains, I never realized that floodplains were mentioned as an exclusion.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, but that's in the superior design.
Okay.
They weren't.
Okay.
But somebody suggested that.
Right, these were suggestions by different groups.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the comment of DC Group was referring to the exclusion D that said stormwater management facility areas were areas that should be excluded, which were proposed to be excluded. They were saying allow not only stormwater management facilities to be included in the calculation, but also all ponds, floodplains, wetlands of any category, title or non-title. I was saying that
it is a significant change, but not one that we still could not make if we so chose. Because throughout the previous pages, they as individual items were allowed, in your opinion.
If you're moving something from the excluded column to the allowed column, it's obviously less restrictive. But I guess you just need to try to figure out which items you want under which category and sort of look at them line by line.
Okay, that's cool.
Because I know some of the letters that we received, and some of them were very difficult to track, because instead of putting 99-whatever-whatever, it was kind of like all over the board type deal on some of those. Okay, any other questions, gentlemen? Okay, we did make it to 7:30. Jim, we appreciate you doing that. Maybe it will cut a little bit of the dust from next week. But we'll see.
Can you bear with me just for a moment? Before we
Absolutely.
Start?
Okay, yep. Yeah, we got it. I think that clock's just a little fast. I think Rob had changed it so we can keep us on time. Keep us on time.
What's
that? I said you move that clock up a little bit in the back here. So
we got 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay, that's not bad.